the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near, praise Him in glad adoration.
This is Kendall Haug, deacon at Coram Deo, and that was a clip of the first track off of our first full-length album release entitled Doxology, which is a collection of hymns. As we announced this past Sunday, we have just put the finishing touches on our record, and it is being pressed and printed right now. I have with me Luke Petipole, who is the producer on the album. Luke and his wife Megan live in Des Moines, but have been a part of our community here at Coram Deo in Omaha for the past few years. He's the frontman for the band The Envy Corps and has led and been a part of just a great variety of musical projects. He's an extremely talented musician and producer. And so when I very first started dreaming about this project, about making this record, I knew that I had to get Luke to be a part of it. I remember sitting down with him for coffee about a year ago and being really excited when he himself was just pretty energized and willing to jump on board with the project. So Luke, you've been a part of many albums and musical projects in the past. Was this your first one as a full-blown producer?
Definitely the first one where it wasn't involving the Envy Corps. We produce our own records, and I've done things here and there with other members of the band. But this was kind of the first record that I kind of had to deal with by myself, and I couldn't always ask somebody else for their opinion. Obviously, Kendall, your opinion was greatly appreciated, but so this was the first time where I kind of felt that weight on my shoulders, and but I think it turned out great, and I think everyone's really happy with the process and the outcome. So
yeah, definitely. Well, how was that working on the project? This is pretty much something in lots of ways completely different than projects and things that you have worked on in the past, and so how was this different from either the Envy Corps projects or other things that you've worked on?
Well, first of all, the material is, it's very sacred, and, you know, some of the songs date back, you know, over 1,000 years. So, we're dealing with first off, we're dealing with material that people know and love already and have heard before. And a lot of other artists have obviously tackled these songs. So we weren't working with new material, which is what I usually do in the Envy Corps. We kind of have, you know, if we want to get rid of a chorus, we can. If we want to change a lyric, we can. So that was different. And then as far as, you know, working, kind of leading this group of musicians that we assembled, I kind of had to do more preparation and think about, you know, what everyone was going to contribute and how I could kind of help them, you know, play to their strengths and do the best that they could do, and also, you know, how the interplay of the violins for example, and then, you know, the acoustic guitar, how are those parts going to go together? Are they going to harmonize? Are they going to, you know, all these different things. So it was really, you know, I'm kind of taking something that already exists, and I'm taking people that maybe haven't played together and maybe have, and or have maybe never played these songs, or maybe have, and kind of guiding them and creating kind of a vibe where the end product is going to be pleasing to everybody, and kind of, you know, have its own style. It's going to reflect what Coram Deo does on Sunday. I definitely wanted to keep that in mind, but also do something that, you know, we have Christian music has, you know, for the last 20 or 30 years, you know, had a certain sound, I think, and I think we wanted to do something that was just a little different. So, you know, it's different in that way. It was completely kind of a different take on how to put songs together, and yeah, I was really happy. I learned a lot doing this. So
let's talk about that sound for a minute. When we sat down and we sort of picked out the songs and we started thinking about what kind of an album do we want to create, what kind of a sound do we want to create? What were the things that were coming through your head when you sat down? What kind of a sound were you intending to make, or or what kind of feel, what kind of just thoughts or ideas about the album were you trying to execute?
Well, again, coming back to the source material and how, you know, like I said before, people, those songs are near and dear to people's hearts already. And, you know, we have the kind of your average, or what I would say, you know, like the classic contemporary worship sound. And I wanted to do something that I felt was kind of a reflection of how small the Coramdale community is. I mean, it gets bigger all the time, but we're not a huge church by any means. I feel that our worship times are more intimate than any other church that I've been to. You know, the musicianship level is really high, but it's not a bombastic thing. You know, some churches you go to and it's like a U2 concert. And I just didn't feel Coramdale has never done that, and I wanted to, you know, reflect that in the way that the album was recorded. So some of the songs are very soft and intimate and sound like they were recorded in a living room, and they may have been. And some songs sometimes get big at the end, and there's a lot of vocals, and you know, we kind of play off that huge dynamic that you can get when you have a string section and a piano going and all these guitars. And I just felt that it was really natural for me, for the aesthetic that I like, and it also really fit in with kind of what Coramdale's Sunday worship already is. So I was really happy that we could kind of go our own way and do something that was a little off the norm. And really kind of reinterpret these songs in a what I felt is a very genuine way to the way that Coramdale already does things, and the way that, you know, I feel like the people in our church, kind of the music that they already are into and respect. So
yeah. So you started off with a sort of a very clear idea or thoughts in your head about what you wanted the album to sound, to feel like. Do you, now sort of getting toward the end of that project and hearing the final mastered result, do you feel like you stuck true to that? Do you feel like you stuck to the sound that you were intending?
Yeah, I think a lot of it was in the instruments. You know, there's not, I don't think I've ever seen an electric guitar on stage at Coramdale, and we used it very sparingly, and it really didn't end up sounding like an electric guitar to me in the end. We kind of, you know, worked with it and massaged it into more of an ethereal tone. But yeah, in the end, I think, you know, we stuck to the instruments that I wanted to stick with that would give us this kind of, you know, almost 70s folk meets a little bit of rock feel. And so in the end, you know, I'm really pleased, and we took a lot of time with vocals. Obviously they're carrying the message of the songs, and, you know, some of the tunes just with, you know, all the harmonies that we worked out and just the amazing singers that I had at my disposal just turned out really great. So
sweet. Well, this was kind of a bit of a lengthy process. The time we spent on this, I don't know how much, 8-9 months or so. Is that normal for a project like this?
I think so. If you factor in, you know, everyone that's on music team is just donating their time. They have other jobs, and they have, you know, other, you know, ministries they're attending to. They have kids and marriages and all this stuff. And of course, I'm in Des Moines, whereas everyone else is in Omaha. So, you know, the reason it took so long was merely just scheduling and time. And people made a lot of sacrifices to make it happen. And I was here, you know, 3 out of 4 weeks a month, a couple days a week, in my off time, just working and tracking with people. So of course we would have loved to have it done earlier for everyone, but I think the time that we took was really worth it to get the sounds that we wanted, and just a product that I think reflects just the commitment to quality that Coramdale has on other levels as well. So
yeah, the scheduling definitely was sort of a barrier to completing it, and that was definitely a hard part to maneuver. Was there anything else about the process of recording, about the process of getting all the musicians together and going for a certain sound? Was there anything that was really difficult about that? The hardest sort of part, I guess?
No, I mean, I'm trying to think, and it was really fairly smooth in the end. We had a couple songs where we went back and forth on some arrangements and things like that. But yeah, I think it, in the end, you know, the biggest things were the scheduling, and then, you know, of course, there was no studio in Omaha to record in. We did our basic tracks out in Iowa with a friend of mine, but all the overdubs, we just kind of, you know, we'd invade a living room or a friend's basement who had a microphone set up already. So yeah, finding those areas, it wasn't as much difficult as it was kind of interesting. And it was cool. I mean, when I've in the past done a record and you're at this, you know, you come into the same spot every day and you don't have any time to kind of just step back and take some time and do other things, it can get pretty stagnant and you feel like, you know, you're looking at the same speakers every day and you know, looking at the same computer screen. So I think it was great that we got we recorded a beautiful grand piano in this empty house, and you know, we did some vocals in a living room amongst kids' toys and all this stuff. And I just think it was really cool that, you know, I could kind of throw a little mobile rig together and bring a mic or two, and we could get sounds that were great and, you know, rival other records, I think. So
yeah, that was definitely one of my favorite parts of the recording process, is just a bunch of, it really did have the vibe of just a bunch of friends coming together and making music together, making an album. And that was definitely reflected in the places that we recorded in. What were some of your favorite parts of just the recording process, the whole process of making the album?
I think because initially we just got together, there was kind of a core group of us, Jared, Micah, myself, Evan Freemeyer, and Cody Bailey, and we were kind of the core of the group as far like rhythm section. And so we rehearsed quite a few times all the songs, figuring out, or essentially arrangements, how many verses we're going to do, you know, where we're going to the chorus, and then kind of just structuring it, and then, you know, everyone's kind of figuring out what they're going to play at that time. And I think the last couple practices where we kind of knew what we were doing and we were just playing through the songs, and they sounded really great and full. That was a favorite part. I always love recording strings. I was able to get a couple new microphones, which is always exciting, and throw them up on the string players, and got some really amazing tones. Same thing, we had David Hunziker come in and play some trumpet, and I had not recorded trumpet before, so that was cool. And then I guess, you know, my real favorite part is when, you know, because I mixed this with another guy in Des Moines, and when you get real close to that mix and everything's kind of sounding really great and all the voices are together and you have, you know, the reverbs are at the right level and, you know, all the instruments are there and they're all, you know, poking out at the right spots. That's a good feeling when you can kind of just listen to that mix and say, you know, that was a you know, not a revelation, but you know, it's what I wanted. You know, it's the end result is there, and it sounds like I hoped it would sound, and hopefully better. So,
yeah. Well, tell me about that collaboration process of having so many different people and so many different voices in the mix, having a say as far as what it was going to sound like. You know, normally, if you're writing songs for just yourself or for the MV Corps, you know, you're the primary songwriter and you're coming to the band with an idea and you're taking what they have to say, but you're executing sort of, for the most part, your own thoughts, or at least maybe one or two other people's thoughts on the sound of the song or the album. And so how was that working with different people's inputs and voices?
It went really great. I mean, there were, out of the 11 songs we did, there were songs that I definitely had a certain vision for, and I kind of, you know, definitely took the lead there, and I had a better idea of what I wanted, so I could kind of delegate that. And then there were other songs where I kind of didn't know, and I just allowed, you know, in those rehearsals, the band to kind of organically decide what the vibe of the song was going to be or how that was going to go. And I feel, you know, obviously, kind of Jared is the voice of the Coram Deo worship, and that dictates a lot of how it's going to go. Just hearing him on the vocal can kind of get my mind racing and kind of can help me figure out where the rest of the song needs to go, and you know, who should be singing harmony, how many harmonies there should be, how we're going to, you know, bring instruments in and out. So I think a lot of it was, you know, in those rehearsals, just listening to what everyone was doing kind of their own, and, you know, totally accepting and encouraging the really great things, and the stuff that didn't work, we just worked on it and worked it out, and, you know, came to something that, that sounded good. So,
yeah. And so there were definitely a lot of different people in the mix, whether it was just musicians or people that had a say in where we were going. But most of those people had little to no experience in the studio or being a part of the process of making the album that they were. And so you, sort of coming from having made several albums and been a part of several different music producing experiences, how was that working with people who didn't have sort of nearly any experience, like myself, in their studio?
You know, it takes a little longer, and you kind of have to guide them a little more. But everyone did a great job. I mean, the big thing is, like I said, talking about the core group that was rehearsing, they've all recorded before. So when we went out to the studio initially, which is in Jamaica, Iowa, just outside Des Moines, we were all rehearsed. Everyone kind of knew what was going to happen, and so those sessions, it was just two weekends, and we pretty much knocked out the basic tracks for all 11 songs, which I was pretty pleased with. And then, you know, I think the great thing about, you know, and maybe it obviously did take longer, but just coming in, and I could work one-on-one with my vocalists or one-on-one with my different players, and really kind of allow them time to find their parts, and we can, you know, we can always do another take. And the great thing is, you know, now with digital recording, there's a little cheat factor too. So, you know, I can take the best parts from what you've sang and turn it into one song, which, you know, people have been doing for years, but now it's pretty fast.
Yeah.
So, I really thank everyone for being patient with me too. But yeah, and, you know, I asked a lot of my people, and they totally delivered, and it sounds great. So,
any funny memories from the recording process?
Oh, there were many. I'm trying to think. When we got the initial studio that we worked at, we all rolled in, and I've worked with this producer, or engineer rather. I've worked with him before on MVCore stuff, so I kind of know his style. And he knew it was a church group. So I was wondering, he flies off the mouth with some F-bombs now and then. And I was just wondering if he was going to change his speech at all. And he did not, which I thought was kind of funny. And he kept calling Jared Jeremiah and things like that. And you know, he'd be like, what's the next song? And I'd be like, praise to the Lord, or something like, you know, all creatures. And he'd just kind of look at me wide eyed, like, you know, I think praise to the Lord was praise to you, Lord, for like the entire duration. I think the files are still called that. Yeah. I mean, it was stressful at times. I mean, I don't remember anything too slapstick, but for the last day, I stayed up all night finishing these mixes, and I'm listening to stuff, and it's like I started hearing like phantom noises and things. And yeah, by the time I was like, okay, I'll call it quits and go home, it was already time to leave for Omaha for the mastering. So yeah, I had about a 40-hour stretch there the last day. But yeah, I mean, it turned out great, and I'm glad that it's done, and I'm really anticipating people hearing it. So,
yeah. So me personally, having been able to listen to the album a few times over now, I think I have some thoughts on just the overall sound and some favorite tracks. But do you have any favorite tracks, early favorite tracks so far of the album?
Definitely do. Of course, I listened to all of them way too many times, and I enjoy all of them. You know, I like every song that we did. But I think there's certain ones like Doxology is probably my favorite track. It's it's the first half is just a beautiful acapella with my wife sang, and Judith Fox and Laurel Freemeyer, who are sisters, sang as well. And we were kind of going for a "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?" kind of, you know, down at the river singing your you know, slave song kind of thing. And I think that sounded really great. And then the band comes in with kind of a crescendo for the amen section, and it's just kind of a big group, and we get some guy vocals in there too. So yeah, that song definitely is, it's still emotional for me when I listen to it. I think there are some of the slower songs without drums, like "Holy, Holy, Holy" or "Great Is Thy Faithfulness," where it's just kind of Jared and a piano or a Rhodes, and then maybe a little strings thrown in there. I think those turned out really well. I was really happy. Megan and I got to sing a song for the last track, "Come Thou Fount." We wanted it to sound like, you know, we were just in our living room, and I was able to get that, and I think it sounds really great. So, I mean, I like every track. I like stuff about every track, and I'm sure it'll change as I listen to the album again and again. But yeah. I'd definitely say, you know, Doxology is up there, Be Thou My Vision is up there, Holy, Holy, Holy. So,
without giving away too much, do you think there's any surprises awaiting people on the album?
We did kind of take the Sunday morning thing to the next level, and so I don't know. I think people are going to be surprised at the talent that we have in our church. Yeah. Just people that have normal jobs, but they play and sing well. So,
right on. Well, we're getting pretty close here to the release of the album. It's getting printed right now, and then April 23rd, we're going to have a CD release party where that'll be available to the public for the first time, and then the following Sundays, and we'll get it up on iTunes and Amazon and all those places. Luke, what's your hope as we release this album to our church and to other churches and just to the public in general?
Well, first of all, I hope that Coram Deo is proud of what we've accomplished, and I hope that they, you know, enjoy the album and that it encourages and edifies them. And I hope that they, you know, really come to treasure the music team that we have. And, you know, I was at church this week, and it's almost a brand new group. It's like almost nobody that played on the record, but it sounds great. It still sounds great. So there's a lot of talent. And I guess, you know, as other churches hear this, I hope that they're inspired to, you know, do something a little different and maybe not try and, you know, there's definitely, I think, like a U2 thing that goes on in every worship album that I've heard to a degree. And we kind of made more of a, you know, living room kind of album. And I think I enjoy it because I can really hear the heart of the people that made it in it. And I hope that other churches are inspired to do hymn albums and, you know, to even, you know, do songs that are originals from their church. And that's the next thing I hope we can do.
Yeah. Well, I know I'm personally really excited and proud of all the work that everyone put in, and also the finished product that we're coming to now. So if people want to keep up on future Luke Pedipool projects, where can they go for that stuff?
Oh, my band is called The MV Core. We have a website and MySpace and all that. If you just Google that. As far as me, I kind of fly under the radar. I'm not necessarily like a producer for hire or anything.
Yeah, you got any future production projects in the mix?
I'm co-producing a record right now for a 19-year-old guy from Des Moines who's kind of taking a page from Neutral Milk Hotel kind of thing. But yeah, all the whole band kind of took a break from the MV Core and kind of did their own thing. And I got done second out of the three projects. So we're kind of, once we get this kid's record done, then we're going to focus back on MV Core and hopefully have an album out this year.
So wait, when can we look for that album out?
Kendall, I can't tell you for sure. We're going to hope this year, but that probably means early next year.
All right, you heard it here first. EnvyCore. End of the year before Christmas, right?
We have that's your bag, dude. That's your line. We have soft deadlines in our band. So, I think we enjoy recording too much to get it done too quickly, but we understand that it frustrates the fans. So,
well, that's definitely one thing I've learned in this project is be careful with what deadlines for getting finished that you tell people.
It will always take longer, and the work will be twice as much harder as you think. So
that's definitely been true.
It's still worth it, though. So,
any just parting thoughts or words?
I really want people to, you know, if you love the album, you know, it's in there who played on it, and recognize those people, because they did a fantastic job, and a lot of them, you know, like we talked about, had never recorded anything before, and they just blew me away, and my, you know, completely shattered my expectations. So, yeah, thank those people.
Well, thanks for being with us, Luke. As I mentioned, on April 23rd at 7 p.m. at Sukow Chapel, we're going to have a CD release party. We're going to gather and celebrate what God has and is doing in the life of our church, and we will celebrate this album. That'll be the first time that you can get your hands on a copy of the record. After that Friday, they'll be available at our Sunday gatherings at Sukow Chapel back at the resource table. And then later, it will be available for download at a few select online music services in May. You can stay updated on all things pertaining to the album and just happenings of our church at our blog, which is online at www.cdomaha.com/blog. Thanks for listening. Let the amen sound from the